All right, welcome back. Talk Radio 1210 WPHC. Rich Zeoli with you in for Chris DeGaulle today. Tomorrow, Chris back next week. So, you know, all week I've been just tearing apart the Republican establishment. All week I've been talking about these moderates that keep just, well, they eat their own and they go after conservatives. There's a war on conservatism. There has been for years. Libertarian-leaning conservatives have absolutely no place, it seems, in the Republican Party. And a lot of people out there just don't want to be called Republicans anymore. They just don't want to be called that term. They want to be called something different. And the Frontier Lab just did a very interesting survey called Switching Sides. Here to break it down for us and tell you why you are not alone if you don't want to be called a Republican, Ann Sorok is the research director of the Switching Sides Behavior Study. She joins me here on Talk Radio 1210. Ann, thanks for making time for me.
I'm so happy to be here.
All right, so a lot of people I know on Twitter especially, you know, we use the hashtag TCOT, True Conservative on Twitter. Mm-hmm. We vote Republican because it's a two-party system and we have to. Then we see Republicans like McCain, Graham, Peter King, Chris Christie, others go after conservatives a lot, and conservatives go, I can't take this party. So they're not alone in feeling that way. Apparently, your survey showed a lot of people feel that way.
Oh, it was just overwhelming. And we actually, what we did is we reverse engineered that feeling where, I don't know if you're at a cocktail party and someone asks you how you vote and you kind of squeamishly say Republican. But it's sort of that idea. And some Americans who are conservative and moderates, too, are refusing to use that label Republican. Even though they're conservative, they hold a lot of the values the party espouses, it's using that term that they're shying away from, and we sort of reverse engineered what led into that no longer using that term.
All right, so what are the reasons why people are no longer using the term?
Well, there we looked at four events in common, and it's a research approach called behavioral event modeling, but what we look for is patterns, and there's four patterns that overlap in people. And as they say, it's not just conservatives, it's moderates too, but they actually all had four things in common. One was that they rejected this lesser of two evils argument. They bristle when that argument is presented to them by the establishment, and sort of once they recognize that that's out there, that they've been fed that one too many times, they sort of reject that label. Another is articulation.
In other words, and you say the establishment, which I think the establishment is pretty moderate. So what I would see that as, say, a conservative has to vote for someone that they perceive to be a moderate Republican, because the lesser of two evils is if I don't vote for so-and-so, then a Democrat will win that seat. So I suck it up and vote for the moderate Republican who may be pro-choice, who may be for gun control, but because it's better than having a Democrat in there.
Right. I mean, how many times have we heard that, especially in recent elections, one big one in particular, that you have to stomach the candidate who doesn't quite live up to what you're looking for? But once that happens, it's people are reaching a tipping point. They'll accept that for a while. They understand, as you indicated, we're in a two-party system, but there's becoming a sort of this tipping point where people say no more of this lesser of two evils. It's just too much.
Oh, no, I'm there. I'm fully there. And Ann Sorok is the research director of the Switching Behavior Study that the Frontier Lab just did. I'm completely there. I've mm-hmm. said I cannot do it. If we get a moderate as our nominee, the Republican Party nominee in 2016, I won't vote for that person. I know that it'll cause Hillary Clinton to become president theoretically, but I don't care because we're going to lose anyway. And I'm tired of this pattern over and over again. When I said that the other day, I expected people to call up and go, "Ah, Zeoli, you know, you are just you're killing it. You're going to give us Hillary Clinton." People call up and go, "You agree with you 100%. I'm tired. I'm done. I'm done as well."
Right. It's an enabling behavior. And I think people essentially feel as though they have been enabling bad behavior by the party that should be representing them. And as any good parent knows, at some point you have to say no.
That is great. I love that analogy. All right. So the first pattern, rejection, lesser two evils. What's the second?
So this idea, it's a little bit, we try to seek out some of these, we call them emotional drivers, but one of them is this, that they actually lost hope. And it seems somewhat obvious, but there is a moment most people in time can reflect on where they felt that the party was no longer providing hope to them, that they would ever get their ideals, provide, you know, a candidate who represented their ideas or ideals. And so once you lose that emotional connection to the party, that disaffiliation was much more, and we call it disaffiliation from that Republican label, was more likely to occur.
The moment for me was when Senator Rand Paul took to the floor of the United States Senate to filibuster because Eric Holder would not give him an answer to the question, can the U.S. kill an American citizen on U.S. soil with a drone? Now, four Americans have been killed by drones in foreign countries, not on the battlefield, but in foreign countries. Legitimate question to ask. He didn't get the answer. He filibustered. John McCain came out, called him a wacko bird. Lindsey Graham attacked him. When John McCain, the Republican Party's nominee in 2008, who guys like me defended, held our noses and voted for, and defended, came out and called Rand Paul a wacko bird for doing that, that was the moment where I said, this party may actually be completely lost.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And, you know, we had people bring that up to us, and that sinking feeling they described also, where it's just no longer, again, the rejection of the lesser of two evils, but the idea that they're never going to deliver. Another tipping point people are reaching.
Yeah, and also, of course, the other day with that vote on the NSA surveillance, when you had the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, working side by side with President Obama to make sure that the Republican-led bipartisan effort to strip the NSA of the funding to continue this spy program did not pass. And that was another moment where I said, these two parties are the same. This is the ruling class. There's no difference anymore. It's just about power, and it's just about rewarding their buddies and their friends. And as my father-in-law says quite often, a very astute political analysis, they're all whores. So what's the third pattern?
Well, as people are experiencing exactly what you're describing, they're still finding community other places. One of them, you'd be surprised to know, or not surprised, is talk radio. Came up as a very strong counter to the role the Republican Party has traditionally held in people's lives, providing that sense of community, giving people a sense of camaraderie as they become, you know, lose their affection for the party. So there's an idea that there's a replacement for some of the things the party should be providing, most importantly, in this sense, community.
Because people can call me up and say, Zioli, I feel exactly how you feel, or I'm angry at Chris Christie or something, or I'm angry at the party. That's the platform for them, and I get that, and I agree 100%.
Yeah. Again, we're looking for patterns,
right?
And when people said, you know, I found a radio show I could listen to, when they said I became involved with the Tea Party, when I became involved with this race, and they found got onto Twitter, those are all elements of finding a new community. And once that happened, the Republican Party wasn't looking so good anymore. So, looking for these patterns, once that happened in a disaffiliator's life, they're much more likely to stop using that label, Republican.
So it's interesting, you know, as the Republican establishment continuously tears into talk radio and goes after hosts for being part of the problem, who are feeding this conservative circus that's going to cause us to be the minority party, they've got it all wrong, actually. It's that the Republican voters feel that those people are so out of touch, they're coming to listen to guys like me because they don't feel like the Republican Party gives a damn about them, and this is a community for them to go to. That's a fascinating. And what's the fourth and final pattern of behavior?
Well, the fourth and final is something so obvious that you can't imagine a political party would ever be doing it.
Free hot dogs. Free hot dogs. You give them, I'm telling you, that always works, right?
I'm from Chicago. I totally get it.
Right. Great hot dogs.
There was an incident, very striking one, that each of our interviewees mentioned, where they perceived they had been betrayed by the GOP establishment. Either it was a candidate that they supported who they witnessed being run through the ringer by local or national officials, or they witnessed people on, you know, national news purporting to represent them, ripping on a candidate they supported. So they're seeing sort of they feel a personal slight because somebody or something they believe in is ridiculed
or undermined. For example, say moderates and talk show hosts and others who would say tear apart Sarah Palin, for example,
exactly.
or Christine O'Donnell, or somebody else that the establishment felt was a quote-unquote kook, or that we made a mistake nominating, and that really just... Because I look at it like this. If primary voters speak and pick someone, and then the establishment says, oh, you kids have behaved badly, and you picked the wrong person, I'm going to feel like an idiot, and then I'm going to turn around and say, like all kids do, and rebel against my parents and say, actually, you're the idiot. Not me. You're the idiot. And if you had supported my candidate, maybe we would have won. But it was a self-fulfilling prophecy because you sat on your hands. Is that kind of the sentiment?
That's exactly it. And what's, you know, going through all of these is, and what we are trying to promote at the Frontier Lab is that those in the political world stop viewing themselves as the arbiters of what they should be doing and listening to their customer. I come from a market research background, a consumer packaged goods, and if we didn't listen to what our customers were telling us, we wouldn't be selling any products. And I think that's what we're witnessing here. They're not listening to their consumers, their voters. And with this recent RNC autopsy, which is really the genesis for this study, where they hired insider DC consultants to tell them what's wrong, and came up with very surface level insights that, you know, we need to reach out to this interest group or that interest group better.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. It's just one thing struck me about that DC insider thing. Ann Sirach joins me on the Chris Segal Show. Rich Cioli, we're talking about this switching sides behavior study. One thing about that is these insiders, these consultants, you know, the establishment, they're getting, no matter what, they make money. They get paid, whether it's Karl Rove is making money today. And and conservatives who are being derided by him are looking at that going, this is a trough you're feeding at, and we're all nuts. Meanwhile, all your promises of moderate candidates will win. Moderate candidates are the only thing that can win. It's moderation that wins. We haven't won following that strategy, but you've made millions of dollars off of that strategy.
Yeah, I think that we're seeing this story come to life that maybe we feared was going on, which is, you mentioned at the beginning of our segment, there's a ruling elite in D.C., and people aren't having it anymore. They're starting to see that the two parties are seeking one thing, which is power. But the thing that this report also hoped to achieve is to provide an avenue for the party should they choose to reform or listen to their voters. And so we looked for, you know, there's very simple fixes they could do. So when we look and see them not doing them, I think that's going to just reinforce these disaffiliating events even more. So when we see them continue to give us this lesser of two evils argument, continue to undermine candidates that the people, you know, like, I think that we're going to really see a party that's not seeking to represent its people.
And, you know, they talk about the Republican Party, if it goes too far to the right, you know, the argument for the moderates is it will forever be a minority party. I'm not quite sure that the GOP, the way it is right now, is salvageable. You're in market research. I mean, at some point, there's a packaged consumer good where they either rebrand this baby or the company says we're pulling this out of the production line, because you reach a point where maybe nobody's buying Malamars. They're just never going to buy Malamars again unless you can somehow re-envision them. Maybe it's just time for a true legitimate third party. I talked about this yesterday, and a lot of people called in, agreed. We came up with the name the Freedom Party, which the woman who suggested it said, and the whole goal is to say, does this bill make me more or less free? But I look at the system, I look at the way it's set up from the town, the county, the state level. That structure, that political structure, which protects itself and the class and the donors, so they get the contracts and the work and the government jobs, I don't know how you ever overcome that in inane political structure.
Yeah, I mean, how many of us have looked back to what happened to the Whigs, you know, at the outset of the Civil War? And it's not something, it's something that has happened in our country's history before. Again, if I'm a brand manager of the GOP brand and I'm looking at this study switching behavior from the Frontier Lab, I'm saying, you know, I would be so nervous that something like that could happen, and that a party that captures what you mentioned, the Freedom Party, that speaks to what people are yearning for, which is principle-based leadership. I wouldn't even say that we need to go to the right. Of course, I personally believe we need to return to our conservative roots, limited government, and I think that is the path forward. But what this study found is it may not even be that. What it is it's principle-based leadership. Don't tell us you need to navigate to every interest group. Don't tell us, you know, this or that is more important in this particular race. Return to principle. I think people articulated to us that it's not that they're unable to compromise or that they don't see that some districts are different than other districts across the country, but they want that principle underlying decisions and something to tie us together other than the seeking of power.